starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lorre Jr.
Hello.
And now, here's Master of Ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed egg roll. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells your submitted story, you get $10.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Each time our wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So let's get on with the laughs. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready.
Yes, sir.
Here's our first joke this evening. Comes from Harry M. Cook of Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and it's on the subject of railroad. Railroad. So, Pete, you're the engineer. The track is clear, and let her roll.
Well, Frank Allen was on his way down from Buffalo to New York on the train, and his friend and partner in business, Hugo Jayberg, was down. He had to meet him at Grand Central Station. So Hugo gets to Grand Central. He's trying to find out what track this Buffalo train is coming in on. So finally saw an information booth, and there's one of those Irish train callers over there. And he's yelling, he says, the 12:30 from Detroit will be 15 minutes late. It will arrive on track one. The 12:30 from Detroit will be 15 minutes late. It will arrive on track one. Look through his notes. He says, the 2:45 from Buffalo will come in on tracks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The 2:45 from Buffalo will come in on tracks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And Hugo walked over. He says, for goodness sakes. He says, what's the idea? I'm meeting a friend on the 2:45 from Buffalo. What's all this business about? It's arriving on tracks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The train caller said, look, mister, I let you in on a little secret. The train from Buffalo on this run has got a lady engineer, and we're expecting her to bring it in sideways.
Well, that joke got you off a little on the bias, Peter. The
laugh meter registered 800 for that one, Ward.
Which allows our...
That's good. That's
sure, it's
average.
A good start. It's $10 at least for Mr. Cook to start off with, and I don't know whether you fellas are going to be generous or not. That's what we're waiting to see. The upraising of hands shows Joe Lorre first. All three hands, too, at that.
Well, one night in the subway, it was jammed and packed, as it usually is, but this was very, very well jammed. And a fellow standing up reading his paper, and a fellow next to him is almost cheek to cheek with him, looking over his paper. And he's very uncomfortable, and finally turns to this fellow. He says, say, bub, he says, I invested 5 cents for this paper. He says, why don't you go out and buy one for yourself? So the guy looks at him and says, is that so? You invested 5 cents in the paper. 5 cents you invested in the paper. He says, yeah. He said, then why don't you take a taxi cab and protect your investment?
Well, you don't need any protection for that one, Joe.
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Topping Mr. Cook's 800, still leaving him with $10. And, Harry, I think your hand was raised second.
Story I like to tell. When Litvinov came here as Russian ambassador, and he went to the capital, they asked him if he wanted to have a nice Russian meal to start it off. He says, no, I am in America now, and I would like an American meal. So a part of the meal they gave him, the great dessert that he loved, was a thing called Washington pie, a white cake with a white sauce. And he thought it was wonderful. He said, I must remember this, Washington pie. Well, he had to come to New York from the Capitol the next day. When he got on the train and he got in the dining car, he said to the colored waiter, above everything else, I would like Washington pie. Have you got Washington pie? He says, yes, sir, we'll bring it. So when he brought it, he brought a chocolate cake with a chocolate sauce. And Litvinov says, I cannot figure this out. In the Capitol yesterday, I had Washington pie. It was a white cake with a white sauce. And you're bringing me a Washington pie, which is a chocolate cake with a chocolate sauce. Says, brother, in this country we got two Washingtons, George and Booker T.
$1,000 $5,000 on the Laugh Eater for that one, Ward.
I just thought, though, it's a good thing that he didn't come up by bus. That's the only thing that saved you.
There was a guy in the subway.
Yeah, I know.
Wait a minute, that's railway? They call it
Interpar. If the senator gets somebody on a pogo stick, I'm going to go home.
Well, that's railway.
I haven't been in this round yet, you know.
I know. We're waiting, Senator.
The senator may have him in a bag.
So far, both of our wits have topped Mr. Cook's $800, leaving him with that same scant $10 he started with. And, Senator, it's up to you to carry on the Christmas spirit or else.
Well, on the subject of railroads, I can say plenty anent the strings of used berry crates that wend their wobbly way up to my hometown. The railroad is known as the Wrong Island Railroad. You know, when you ride on our main line, you have black hair whether you like it or not. Some of these trains run daily, some run Sunday, some run from June 14th to October 12th, although it seems much longer. I don't believe Judge Crater's lost. I think he's gone somewhere on a Long Island train. Well, anyway, Ditsy Baumwartle got a rush of conscience between his ears, and he decided to break the habit of a lifetime and go to work. So he got a job on our railroad as assistant trainman's assistant. But having a very bad memory, he couldn't memorize the stations on the road. So on his first trip, the conductor stuck his head in the front door and he said, "This train for Riverhead, Aquipogue, Jamesport, Laurel, Matatuck, Deconic, Southold, Greenport." Ditsy stuck his head in the other door and said, "The same on this end."
The Laugh Meter registered 600 for that joke.
Well, there are slow trains up there, yeah. I can't.
Slow meter, too, that time. Well, since two of our wits did top Mr. Cook's 800 and one didn't, it's a pleasure indeed.
And then a lady said to him, she said, "Which end of this train will I get off?" He said, "Either end, both ends stop."
Hey, that was 200 better that time. There was an 800. It was a tie.
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
And now, let's continue our contest of wit and humor once again. Here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. Walter Kubiak, I guess that is. I don't know. You can toss for that one. K-U-B-I-A-K, Kubiak or Kubiak, of Chicago, Illinois. And the subject of this joke is something I hope you never have to see professionally. Doctor. Doctor. So, Pete, what do you prescribe?
Well, it's about a country doctor in a little tiny town. And you know how busy they always are. But this particular day, it was winter and everybody had colds. He had the most busy day of his life. Terrible, terrible busy day. In the middle of it, all the kids in high school came down with measles. And all day long, his phone kept broadcasting these spot announcements. And, oh, he was knocking himself out. And then a blizzard came along. He had to trudge around in the snow. By the time he got home at night, he was just ready to collapse. And he fell in bed. He was the worst day of his life. So 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. And he reached for it. He says, "Hello." Voice on the other end of the phone says,
"Hello, Doc." He said, "This is Farmer Brown." He said, "I want you to come right out to my house. My wife is sick."
He said, "Out to your house? You live 7 miles out of town."
He says, "I know, but this is very important. You better come right out."
Oh, he says, "All right, I will." So he got out and he traveled 7 miles through the snow drifts in this awful, terrible cold night. And he gets to Farmer Brown's house. He walked in. He says, "What's the trouble?"
Farmer says, "Gee, Doc, I'm glad you got here." He says, my wife got fallen arches."
He says, "Fallen arches aren't serious."
"Well," he says, "these are. Her arches fell through the cellar door and she was with them at the time."
So the doctor said, "Well, let me look at her anyway." Examined her. He says, "Why," he says, "this patient should have had medical attention a long time ago." He says, "When did she have this awful fall?"
"Well," said, "let's see, it must have been about a week ago last Sunday."
He said, "A week ago last Sunday?" He says, "Why didn't you call me before? Or at least, why didn't you phone me in the daytime instead of waiting until 3 in a terrible cold morning with a blizzard like this?"
He says, "Well, Doc, we know that you got a lot of demands on your time. So just to be considerate, we waited until tonight to call you when you wouldn't be so busy."
She died, however. With the joke. The joke was with it.
So did the joke, incidentally. You would have been better off to stay with the fallen arches, Pete.
700 is the score in the Laugh Meter this time, Ward.
Which, gives Mrs. Kubiak $10 to start off with, and our three wits a little latitude there as a matter of 300 to begin with. Senator, do you want to follow the Fallen Arches?
Yeah, I'll go with the Fallen Arches. Aki Bop's wife took him to the doctor because he had a growth on his nose. So the doctor looked at it and said, "Why, that's nothing serious. I'll remove it. I'll give him an anesthetic." So Mrs. Bop said, "What's an anesthetic?" The doctor said, "When I give him an anesthetic, he won't know anything." She said, "You don't have to bother with that. He don't know nothing now."
650 is what the laugh meter registered, Ward.
I got Mrs. Kubiak up to $15 now anyway. And, Harry, I think your hand was raised second.
But first, I want to tell something about myself. You know, I've had a cold, more or less, for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And I've been coughing and everything, so a very dear friend of mine, hearing about my cold, gave me a wonderful advice. He says, "Why don't you try to get pneumonia? The doctors know what to do for that." Finnegan went to a Dr. Callahan. He didn't feel well. So he says, "The doctor," he says, "I don't feel well, and I don't know. Maybe you could help me." He says, "I'll help you." He says, "I have a vitamin pill I've invented. I could make you look and feel like a 10-year-old boy. A certain amount of treatments, and that's what you'd look like and feel like. 10 years. He says, "What? You could make me like a 10-year-old boy and look like it?" He says, "I'm for that treatment." He says, "All right, I'll start the treatments, but I'd like to have my fee first, $1,000. He says, "Why should I give you the fee first?" He says, "How do I know that you're going to make me like a 10-year-old boy?" "Oh," he says, "I can make you like a 10-year-old boy, all right. But there's a law about collecting money from a minor."
The laugh meter says $5.50 on that one, Ward.
And the predecessor, $550.
That wasn't his yet.
No, you'll have to get pneumonia to get it up. I can see that.
Going down. All right.
It's close to freezing. Well, you fellas are very generous. So far, Mrs. Kubiak is now up to $20. And, Joe, I don't know what you're going to do about it, but let's...
I don't know either. This is the kind I like to tell. A fella meets a half-goofy friend of his, and the goof says, "Hey, you're looking pretty bad." He says, "Well, I am feeling bad." He says, "I'm feeling awful bad. You see, I need an operation, and I don't know about a doctor." So the goof says, "Why don't you go to my doctor?" He says, "It's a young fella, but he's a good doctor." He says, "He is? Is he a skillful surgeon?" He says, "What?" I says, "Is he skillful?" He says, "Gee, he's skillful more people than you'll ever meet."
700 is the score in the last meter this time, Ward.
It sort of sneaked up there. Well, that ties Mrs. Kubiak.
You know, we need a doctor for the gags.
Say, Ward.
Yeah.
Here's a little gag I read not long ago. I don't think it's too much on the laugh meter, but I'd like to tell it anyway. One of those Hollywood starlets, you know, a little blonde, she went to the doctor to find out what was the matter with her throat. So he told her to open her mouth, which she did, and then he said, "Now say ah." She said, "I won't." He said, "Why won't you say ah?" She said, "You don't appeal to me."
Well, I see Harry Hirschfield gesticulating badly.
I got a shorty because the average person feels this way about doctors. There's a guy in pain, so the doctor examines him. The next day, the guy still is in pain. Doctor examines him again and says, "You know, your legs are still swollen, but that doesn't worry me." Says, "You know, doctor, if your legs were swollen, it wouldn't worry me either."
No matter what you do, it doesn't get above 700 on this round.
I like the one about thanking a doctor, about the fellow coming up to the doctor and thanking him. He says, "You know, my wife was very sick. I could hardly kiss her. I couldn't even kiss her. That's how sick she was. But she took 2 bottles of your medicine, and now she kisses everybody." I mean, that's the kind
that
of stuff you...
That isn't the answer either, apparently. We better get over to a new subject in a hurry. And our next joke comes from Mrs. Oliver Beard. Mentioning jokes, Beard. I don't know. Mrs. Oliver Beard of Barnesville, Georgia. And the subject of this round is raffles. I don't mean crooks. I mean this is auction raffles, you know. So, Pete, to the highest bidder, and you're it.
Well, there was a raffle at the lodge, and the chairman was one of those big fellas, you know, he got up. He said, "Fellas, on behalf of the committee," he said, "I want to say we have some Jim Dandy door prizes tonight.
is that we have managed to get 10 pairs of beautiful nylon stockings. They are Jim Dandy's. And I'm going to draw 10 lucky names out of this little bowl here. I want you to come up as you're called and pick the size stocking you want for the little woman.
So he started picking the numbers, and the guys came up, and they started giving their sizes. They got the stockings. Chairman got up again. He said,
"Oh, fellas, I almost forgot to tell you. The committee is sending telegrams to your wives, telling them that you are the winners of these beautiful nylon stockings."
Fella in the back of the hall jumped up. He says, "Gosh, if you're going to tell our wives about the stockings, I better change the size of my pair from 9 to 10 and a half.
Well, that's about the size of it that time, Pete.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Giving Mrs. Beard $25 to start with and putting our three wits out for nothing but glory, and we hope three good laughs. And the first hand raise belongs to Harry Hirschfield, I believe.
Fellow went to buy a horse from a guy, and the fellow who sold it to him said the horse was great, wonderful. So the guy takes his horse home, puts him in the barn. As soon as he got in the barn, the horse dropped dead. Now, the fellow who sold it to him heard about it, so he beat it, didn't come back to town for 5 years. They ran into this guy after 5 years, says, "Gee, I'm sorry about that horse I sold you. I hear that when you got into the barn, it dropped dead." The guy said that was wonderful. As soon as I saw the horse drop dead, locked the barn, and I started a raffle for the horse. I sold 20,000 tickets at $1 apiece for that horse. He says, "How about the guy that won?" "Oh," he says, "he was a little bit sore about it, so I gave him his dollar back."
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
So far, 2 $1,000s, and next, Joe Lurie Jr.
Well, raffling is gambling, anything like that. So this, this lieutenant reports to the colonel. From the general's office, he reports to the colonel, this new colonel, commanding officer. And the colonel reads this letter. He says, "The general tells me you're a very fine officer, young man, but that you're a gambler. So what do you gamble on?" He says, "Oh, anything. Sweepstakes, raffles." He says, "Dice, cards." He says, "I'll bet you, colonel," he says, "that you have a mole on your back, on your back. I'll bet you $10 that you have a mole on your back." The fellow says, "Oh, yeah? Figures, I'll cure him." So he says, "That's a bet. I'll bet you $10. And he takes off his shirt and shows him he has no mole. He says, "All right, you win." So he calls up, the colonel calls up the general. He says, "Well," he says, "I cured that young lieutenant from gambling, I think." He says, "What did you do?" He says, "Well, he wanted to bet me. In fact, he did bet me that I had a mole on my back. I took off my shirt and showed him that I didn't. I won $10 from him." The general says, "Oh, he's done it again." He says, "What do you mean, general?" He says, "Just before he left here, he bet me $100 that he'd have your shirt off 10 minutes after he met you."
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Giving us a perfect round thus far. And, Senator, so far you're the only delinquent in this round.
Well, of course, if Joe can stray a little bit on the subject of raffling to gambling, there's no reason why I can't.
No, I don't see any reason.
Up in my hometown, there's an institute that studies astronomy. They call it Custer Institute. And they had a spare telescope one time, and they raffled it off. Well, a local by the name of Homer Fosfelter won it, and he took it home. And every night he would study the heavens with his telescope that he'd won in the raffle. And one night he said to his wife, "It's going to rain tomorrow." She said, "How do you know?" He said, "My corn's hurt."
After that, you could say, "Oh, my aching back."
Well, looks like only 400 on the laugh meter now, Ward.
After all, you were shooting for a star anyway, because Mrs. Beard already had 1,000. So, truth to tell, we sent Mrs. Beard $25.
Well, I was a guest of a hotel who...
I didn't even get it out yet.
He was a guest of a hotel. He was a steady guest. He lived there all the time. He was a very generous tipper. So, one morning he came down to breakfast and regular waiter wasn't there. So he said to the substitute waiter, he said, "Where's Charlie?" He said, "Oh, he won't wait on you anymore. He raffled you off last night and I won you."
Little bit
raffle.
Better. 600.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
Now here's a joke sent in by Miriam I. Golden of Red Bank, right near my hometown of Deal, Red Bank, New Jersey, and it's on the subject of trip. Not to fall down, fellas, vacation, something like that. So, Pete, let's take off.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Fafufnik had been out to the country for a picnic. Been out there for a picnic, and they're driving home, and she's talking away.
She said, "The Abercrombie was not a snippy picnic." I thought I would die laughing when you sat down on the beehive.
He says, "That was a beehive. It felt to me more like a B-29. So I think the tail gunner got me, too."
She says, "Abe, you're always grumbling." "Well, don't grumble. Watch where you're driving. You almost hit the Ford V8.
He says, "Who's worried about a Ford V8? I already got trouble from the Pickles V8. Don't worry.
She said, speaking of food, I'm all of a sudden very hungry. He says, "My appetite is biting me."
He says, "Daphne, please, on this road there's not even a Howard Johnstein restaurant."
She says, Abe, half a mile back we passed a good humorous man with the jingle bells.
He says, "You want I shall back up the car half a mile?"
She says, "No, you walk back and I'll just sit here and wait in the strudel baker. That's all. You go back."
So he stops the car and she waits and he goes all the way back a half mile to the fellow with the ice cream. Comes all the way back to the car.
They said, "All right, Mrs. Hungry, I purchased you a jumbo ice cream cone. I hope you're satisfied."
She said, "Satisfied? Of course. Oh, is that a beauty? Oh, is that wonderful? Oh, he's got nuts and cherries and he's got 2 pairs of ice cream. Oh, is that beautiful?" She says, "Abe, how can they give you so much ice cream for a nickel?"
He says, "Daphne, with 2 dippers of ice cream, it's not a nickel. It costs a dime."
She said, "A dime? You take it right back for a dime. It's not enough."
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Giving Miss Golden $25 automatically, and our three wits are out on a futile chase once again. Harry, how about you?
I heard a crazy story. 2 guys wanted to go west to rough it, to get the life of the west. So they go out there, and they see an Indian. And this Indian prophesied the weather this day. He said, "We will have rain 4 o'clock. So the 2 fellas says, "You see, abysmal people, primitive man, their instinct, they know. And it rained at 4 o'clock. Next day, he said, "We'll have sunshine, then become cloudy, and then rain." And they had it. Sunshine, cloudy, and rain. The fellow said, "You see anything so primitive? Every day," he said, "it'll rain or shine." And it was. Then for 2 days, he gave no prophecy at all. So they said to him, "You're not making any more prophecy on the weather." He says, "No can do now. Radio not working."
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Well, let's see how fast you fellas can get 2 quick gags in. Senator, how about
you? I'll tell you, quickie. A fellow wired his friend out in the West. He said, "Send me $100 or I'll have to go to the poorhouse Friday." A friend wired back, "Wait till Saturday and I'll go with you."
Another 1,000 on that quickie, Senator. And Joe, how about you?
Yeah, this woman was an hour late meeting a friend, so she says, "Where was you?" She says, "I was down to the depot. I had to meet Montgomery." He says, "Where was Montgomery?" Says, "He went to Atlantic City. For 2 weeks, he was bathing in the sun." He says, "Bathing in the sun? Is he tan?" She says, "What are you talking about, tan? He's almost 11.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Well, friends, join Can You Top This again next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Happy New Year, Ford.
Same from Harry Hirschfield.
Happy New Year, Junior.
Same from Peter Donald.
Ditto, Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long and take care of yourself until we meet again next time. Can You Top This is a Roger Bauer production distributed exclusively by the Nostalgia Broadcasting Corporation.